But the Sabbath day is that special, significant, spiritual day set forth in God's word when our souls are filled with spiritual food. This is not a commandment that should make us rebel against God or to find arguments how we can get around this commandment. We should look at it positively. It is a commandment that teaches us and reminds us to keep this day special, to set aside those other activities. Why? That we may benefit from God, that we may worship Him, that our souls may be enriched, that we have the time and the freedom and the liberty to go to the marketplace and to receive the spiritual food.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church. I'm Pastor Andrew Fitton, and I'm delighted to welcome you to our program today as we seek to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need.
Perfect peace.
You've been listening to Like a River Glorious by Joseph Greer. This is Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton. Thank you for joining with us today as we consider the Word of God afresh. We're going to go to our pulpit in Cloverdale to consider the second part of the message entitled The Blessed Market Day of the Soul, focusing upon the Sabbath day, keeping it holy, and making full use of that day to feed our souls in the Word of God.
The word Sabbath in the Hebrew is translated as, the word translated as Sabbath means rest or to cease. It is a cessation or a ceasing of labor, that these distractions of labor do not interfere with our God, with His worship. And I want you to notice the word remember. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 8, we see that we are to remember the Sabbath day. And that word remember does not denote merely to remember, but that there must be thoughtful activity in light of what this day is. On Wednesday, it is my fourth wedding anniversary. And let me say this by way of illustration. It is not merely enough for me to wake up on Wednesday morning, or for any man to wake up on the morning of his anniversary, for me to think to myself, well, it's my wedding anniversary. I've been married 4 years. It's a great feeling. My wife is in the States right now, so I can't really turn around and say anything to her. I turn around to the cats. It's my wedding anniversary today. They don't really care. They just want fed. I get out of bed, and I go about the activities of the day. And the rest of the day, I ignore the fact that it is my anniversary. Is there something wrong with that? I've remembered. But there's something fundamentally wrong with that picture. And hopefully the men folks see and understand this. There's something wrong here. What about my wife? Should I not wish her a happy anniversary? Should I not get flowers? Should I not go out for dinner? We can't do that. She's back late. We've got the VBS. You get the picture. It's not just remembering the date. Something has to be done. It's like remembering somebody's birthday. It might not be enough to simply remember it's their birthday. You have to wish them happy birthday. You have to take them to dinner. You have to buy them a cake. You have to buy them a card or a present or whatever it is. It's not merely enough to simply remember that that's a special date. Of course, I've had problems remembering my anniversary. In an article for our church magazine last year, I put in our wedding date as a bit of a testimony or a biography of myself, and I got the wrong date. And of course, I had some explaining to do. I get mixed up with that date completely. There's a wedding that I preached at the year after, or 2 years after, and I think it's the day before. And so I just get confused. But it's definitely this Wednesday. But it's not enough to remember. You have to do something about it. You have to act accordingly. And this is what we have here in this commandment. We are reminded about the Sabbath day. It is not enough to simply wake up and say it's the Lord's day. There is to be an action. There is to be thought about it. And there is to be that positivity as we live and as we worship. And we see that. We're to remember the Sabbath day. Why? To keep it holy. Because it is that principal day of worship. It is God's holy day. Some will say that this commandment is part of the ceremonial law. It is therefore passed away in its significance. But in response to that, it is part of the moral law of God. And how did God treat His moral law differently than the ceremonial law? The moral law was binding upon all men. In a specific way, God wrote it upon tablets of stone, inscribed by Himself. It was placed in the Ark of the Covenant. And that law, those tablets, the Decalogue, as it is known as, it summarizes the unchanging aspects of the law of God. I want you to turn to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2, the verse 27. And here the Lord Jesus Christ says that the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. It was not made for Israel. It was made for man. It was made for the people of God. It was not made for the imprisonment of man from the world and pleasures on one particular day, but it was made to spiritually enrich man. Verse 28, therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. Christ does not renounce the Sabbath. He does not say that it will no longer be required. But what he says is that there is an emphasis here, an emphasis that continues within the lives of the people of God. Matthew chapter 24 and the verse 20. The Savior here is speaking the signs of the times and things that will take place. And he says, but pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither in the Sabbath. He's speaking of a time in the future. He's not speaking of a time before his resurrection. He's speaking of that which is future. And he says, pray that this flight, this fleeing, will not be in winter. We can understand that. And what does he say? And on the Sabbath. Why does he say that? If the Sabbath was a day that would no longer apply, no longer a day of rest, no longer a day of worship, it is because it is something that does not change. When we move into apostolic times, we find that the Church of Christ, they met together on the first day of the week. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, Paul speaks about the collection for the saints. And in verse 2, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him. This gathering of money was to take place on the first day of the week, the day in which they came together to worship the God of heaven. And of course, we find that Paul preached. And he preached in Troas in Acts chapter 20, verse 7, the first day of the week. And so the biblical pattern here is that that principal day of worship is the first day of the week, the Lord's Day, that belongs to him. A historian said that the seriousness with which the saints approached the work of glorifying God in the Sabbath set them apart as a peculiar people. The Lord's people are to glorify him by coming to worship. Dear believer, when we think of today as our principal day of worship, can you say with the psalmist, I'm glad. I'm glad to come to the house of God. I'm glad that God has set forth in his word. There is a day of worship, a day that is set aside, a day that I can come and meet with my God and my Savior and worship him and have my soul fed by his precious word. A day where I can set aside those issues of other days and meet with God. And meet with God. It is an important day. It is important to the enrichment of our souls to have that time. Yes, we can meet with God and we should meet with God every day, but that time of public worship, dear believer, should it not be a special time, a blessed time to you and to your soul? And what do you see secondly here, and very quickly, and we'll come back to some of this next week. The Lord's Day is the day in which we partake in worship. The day in which we partake in worship, building on that thought that it is the principal day of worship, it is a day in which we partake. And therefore, the emphasis is upon you and I to come together to meet with God. Eric Little was not going to be distracted from that purpose of partaking in the worship of God. And therefore, We are to take great care that our activities, our secular employments, our temporal affairs do not take away from that time that we are to spend with our God. One of the Puritans, Jean Flavel, said that on the Sabbath the mind is most active and busy in the work of God, though the body be at rest. It is a day for spiritual things. George Swinnick, the Puritan, said, "Reader, as thy duty is to rest the whole day from wickedness and worldly work, so as also to employ the whole day in God's worship by either praying or reading or hearing or singing or meditating or discoursing with others about the word and works of God." It's a day for focus. Focus. Focusing and partaking in the worship of God. And so the preaching of the word, that great aspect of the market day of the soul, is central here. The Savior, when we think of the Savior being tempted, he said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We are a people who need the word of God. We are a people who need to hear the truth of God. Peter said, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." How do we do that? By placing that emphasis upon God's word, upon the reading of his word, upon the studying of his word, and upon the preaching of his word. And therefore, as we participate in the public worship of God and in the market day of the soul, it is of vital importance to us if we desire to grow in the knowledge of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Puritan period, there was a great emphasis upon the primacy of preaching. God works through the preaching of his word. And the Church of Christ is to be a place where the word of God is preached. Churches today have all sorts of programs to help in the community, programs among young people, but ultimately they should not in those things get away from this purpose, to preach the word of God. Its main purpose and function in society is to be a place where the word of God is preached. And the Puritans understood that. They gave time to preaching, not only on the Sabbath, but other occasions. At a place called Cripplegate in London, for a number of years, they had what they called the morning exercises. Now, it wasn't Puritans coming together in a big green in Cripplegate and going through their regular exercises and press-ups and star jumps and all those things. They meant spiritual exercises. They came together to hear the word of God preached. John Fox preached, John Bunyan preached, Richard Baxter preached, John Owen preached, Thomas Watson preached, Matthew Poole, who wrote that commentary, he preached. Famous men who knew the word of God. There was a desire to not only preach, but to hear the preaching. They preached to the heart, to the conscience. There was application, things necessary to spiritual growth. If you ignored the supermarket week after week after week, and you didn't have a garden to grow food, what would happen? If you never went out to buy food or go out to get food, you run out of food. What happens then? Hunger sets in. And refraining from food weakens us. Refraining from food makes us unable to go about our daily functions. We will struggle in the place of work. We will struggle to keep attention. We will struggle to have the energy to go and do those daily things in our lives. If we keep ignoring eating food, what will happen? Eventually death. Eventually death. There have been those over the years, certainly in Northern Ireland, who, for a political cause, they starved themselves to death to make political statements and stir up support. They withheld themselves from food. They grew weak and they died. And what will happen, dear believer, if we ignore partaking in the market day of the soul? We'll receive no food. will be spiritually barren. There will be a failure to be able to live for Christ and to His glory. There is to be a priority given to spiritual exercises. It is to be a day of self-denial and self-control. We are to think within our hearts and our souls, what is beneficial for us this day? There's many things to do, but it is the day of worship. Let us partake. That is how Eric Liddell viewed this. The Olympic Games, did he not desire that gold medal for the glory of God? Did he not desire to win and to do his best? Did he not desire in that race that he was so good at to win the Olympic gold, to be the best in the world? Most certainly he did, but God came first. And there were priorities. And he did not view that thing as more valuable than coming to the house of God and meeting with God. It's a day for self-denial, a day of self-control, and how Satan seeks to tempt us to set God aside. Dear believer, the aim of this day should be to set our hearts upon God, not merely to attend our duty, but to come with our hearts set upon God. There's a difference. We can attend our duty outwardly. We can come to worship, but our hearts are far from God. Let us come with our hearts close to Him, a refraining from those things that will hinder the worship of God. Calvin said, we have one definite day of the week, which is to be completely spent in the hearing of God's word, in prayers, petitions, and meditating. And how true that is. How true that is. Dear believer, today, when we think of the Lord's Day, do we look at Eric Liddell and think he's a great example? Do we rejoice in the stand that he took 100 years ago? A stand that God blessed. But when it comes to the Sabbath day, is there a lack of its importance within our hearts? That's a question we need to ask ourselves. When it comes to the worship of God and the marked day of the soul, what is our reaction to that? Are we glad to come to the house of God? Are we glad to hear His word? Are we glad to spend time in His presence? Or are we just keeping up appearances because we have to, and our hearts and our thoughts are somewhere else? May this day that God has set aside for His worship be a day that we use to refresh ourselves in Him and in His word, a day of blessing, a day in which we look forward to, because it's a day that we can come to God's house. We can come in the morning. We can come in the evening. It's a day where we can have rest from other activities. We can enjoy the creation of God. We can enjoy His presence. We can enjoy coming together with family members. We can enjoy reading the Word. We can enjoy studying the Word. We can enjoy reading good Christian books. But ultimately, our focus is upon coming together as the people of God for the marked day of the soul. May the Lord give us that love and that desire for His word. May we treasure that day that is set aside, that we can come together and meet with Him. May the Lord bless His word for His name's sake. Amen.
Our Spurgeon devotional today is taken from Amos, chapter 9, verse 9. For, lo, I will command, and I will sift the house of Israel among all nations. Like as corn is sifted in a sieve, yet shall not the least grain fall upon the earth. Every sifting comes by divine command and permission. Satan must ask leave before he can lay a finger upon Job. Nay, more, in some sense, our siftings are directly the work of heaven, for the text says, I will sift the house of Israel. Satan, like a drudge, may hold the sieve, hoping to destroy the corn, but the overruling hand of the Master is accomplishing the purity of the grain by the very process which the enemy intended to be destructive. Precious, but much sifted corn of the Lord's floor, be comforted by the blessed fact that the Lord directeth both flail and sieve to his own glory and to thine eternal profit. The Lord Jesus will surely use the fan which is in his hand, and will divide the precious from the vile. All are not Israel that are of Israel. The heap on the barn floor is not clean provender, and hence the winnowing process must be performed. In the sieve, true weight alone has power. Husks and chaff, being devoid of substance, must fly before the wind, and only solid corn will remain. Observe the complete safety of the Lord's wheat. Even the least grain has a promise of preservation. God himself sifts, and therefore it is stern and terrible work. He sifts them in all places, among all nations. He sifts them in the most effectual manner, like as corn is sifted in a sieve. And yet for all this, not the smallest, lightest, or most shriveled grain is permitted to fall to the ground. Every individual believer is precious in the sight of the Lord. A shepherd would not lose one sheep, nor a jeweler one diamond, nor a mother one child, nor a man one limb of his body, nor will the Lord lose one of his redeemed people. However little we may be, if we are the Lord's, we may rejoice that we are preserved in Christ Jesus. That brings us to the end of our program today. Thank you for joining with us, and we trust the Lord's blessing to be upon you and upon his word. May it indeed be a blessing to your heart, to your soul, to help you in your walk with God, and to point you to the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining with us today. If these programs have been a blessing and an encouragement to you, or if you need spiritual help, or desire to know more about the gospel, please contact us. Our phone number is 604-576-1091. Or you can always contact us by email, pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. It is our desire that you would know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour and be built up in your faith. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join us as we seek to preach Christ in all his fullness to sinners in all their need. Again, you can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. We have a presence on Facebook, Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, and we are also responsible for the evangelistic page, Gospel Vancouver. Log on to Facebook, find us, check us out, and feel free to like, follow, and share. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. And it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. And join us again Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for the preaching of God's precious word.